So now, having controlled the body, what to do with the mind, that Bhagwan will tell us, and little more about the body and the mind we'll be talking about today. So verse number 12. Tatraikagram manakritva.
Tatraikagram manakritva.
Yata chittendriya kriyaha.
Yata chittendriya kriyaha.
Upvishyasane yunjyat.
Upvishyasane yunjyat.
Yogam atma vishuddhaye. Together, tatraikagram manakritva yata chittendriya kriyaha upavishyasane yunjya yogam atma vishuddhaye. So tatra means there. Now, having established my seat and everything is done, I have found the kusha grass, I found the tiger skin, I have done everything that Bhagwan had said. Now I have my seat. You can have a back or you cannot. If you can sit, you know, without a back support, that's good. If not, main thing is it should be comfortable seat. I should not torture my body. So tatra, there, ekagram mana kritva. Mana, mind, kritva, making it. Ekagram. Ekagram means single pointed. Single pointed, again and again, Bhagwan emphasizes throughout the Bhagavad Gita the importance of single pointed mind. So making the mind single pointed, yata, and controlling what? Chitta and indriya. Chitta can mean memory or can mean mind or can mean the individual thinking thoughts. So chitta and indriya, so controlling kriya activities of the mind and the sense organs and the organs of action. Indriya means the five sense organs, the five organs of action, controlling those and the mind. Kriya means activity. Upavisha, having seated where? On the asana, asane. On the asana, having seated oneself on the asana, then yunjaya, then one should do this activity of meditation, of uniting with the higher, and practice yoga. Yoga here means dhyana yoga. Meditation should be practiced. Why? As we said, meditation can help us to deal with our mind, can help us to deal with the world, can help us to deal with stress, because when stress comes, our mind goes up and down. But a person who is meditating, Bhagwan later on will say in this same chapter, yasmin sthitona dukkena gurunapi vichalyate, even the greatest sorrow will not overwhelm this man of meditation. Not that he'll become a stone. If there's sorrow, he will feel sad, but inside his mind will be steady. So here Bhagwan gives one more benefit of meditation, atma vishuddhaye. Why should we sit? Atma vishuddhaye. Atma here does not mean the total atma, the consciousness, but means the individuality. Shuddhaye means to purify, vishuddhaye means to completely purify. Visheshena shuddhaye, completely purify the mind and the vasanas. So single-pointed, we talked about last week, you know, doing one thing at a time, focusing on what you are doing, that is very important. While I'm doing that thing, I should be doing that and nothing else. Don't try to do two, three things at one time. Also, it means, how do I make my mind single-pointed? By reducing unnecessary activities, because we do so many things unnecessarily throughout the day, that our mind is constantly stimulated. If we have nothing else, we'll just pick up the phone and look at the Facebook. How many likes did I get on my picture? Or, you know, or who has sent me, you know, or joined some chat or some. Lot of time on social media unnecessarily we wait, you know, waste. Twitter and Instagram. And there's newer and newer sites keep coming up. So reduce the time spent on the phone, on the computer. Of course, necessary things you have to do. You have to answer your email. You have to, you know, talk on the phone. But unnecessary talking, unnecessary chatting without reason, just going through visiting sites, and then you start by watching the news, and then from the news they'll give you sub news about who killed his wife and then how they were killed, and then from that some other violent, and they just take you. You know, that's what these TV and the newspapers and the phone now, their idea is to keep you hooked up as long as possible, and before you know it, 1 hour is gone. So avoid unnecessary activities and mind and senses under control. So what do they mean by mind and senses? Now the mind is the main thing that has to be controlled. And when the mind is controlled, the senses, the sense organs, the eyes, ears, nose, skin and tongue, and the organs of action, you know, hands, feet, speech, genital and excretory organs will also be controlled. How does the mind get disturbed? Say I'm sitting for meditation or sitting for puja. One is a sound comes from outside. I'm sitting in the morning at 6 o'clock and saying, oh, and then I hear a car, you know, this neighbor, John, why is he going to work at 6 in the morning? Well, what happened? You know, so we start thinking about that. Why is he going to work? And normally he doesn't go till 8. What, you know, then your attention is on neighbor, John, and what happened to him and where is he going and why is he? The sound came of the car. Okay, the sound came, and then just ignore it and move back. So one is that the sound from outside can disturb you. You know, that is from the senses, the sound coming in, or anything else. Like if you have a very strong incense, they say even avoid incense because that fragrance of the incense will disturb your concentration, can make you cough. So outer. And then pick a morning time, as I said, keep your room closed, don't have a clock ticking, you know, things like that, so that your mind is not disturbed. So that is from outside. And second is from inside. When you sit for meditation and then you start thinking, you know, today I have a very busy day, you know, after meditation, I have to do this, I have to do that. And so the mind either can create from within sankalpa, you know, different thoughts and different imaginations, or from outside. So both should be stopped. Outside, as I said, by keeping everything closed, and inner by sitting and being in the present. Now I am here. This is my private time with God, and this is for my own purification of mind. At this moment, I'll not try not to think of anything. Even if the mind wanders, bring it back to the chanting of the mantra or whatever you are doing in your meditation. And also, people say I get bored, you know, bored, boring, you know, things. Boredom is a very common complaint. You know, why do we get bored? Because we don't do things well. If you put your full attention on what you're doing and do it well, there will be no boredom. Boredom is because I don't like this, doing this. You know, I don't enjoy doing it. I'm bored. No, whatever you like or dislike, if it is my duty, I'll do it. But even if I don't like it, when you do your duty well, irrespective of likes and dislikes, you will find your boredom will get less. People get bored either when they have nothing to do or when they are not doing things well. So if I have nothing else to do, let me use that time just to chant the name of the Lord. I have 5-10 minutes extra. I'm waiting in a doctor's office and my, you know, time is precious. And they say another 10-15 minutes, just close your eyes and do your mantra. You know, remember the Lord. Either you can chant his name or visualize the form of the Lord, you know, Krishna playing the flute or Shiva in meditation or Jesus. And just visualize, and so that 10-15 minutes can be spent fruitfully instead of looking at the clock and wondering why the doctor is late and they always make us wait and all. Yeah, you know, I mean, not that I'm justifying the doctor being late, I'm not saying that. But if that's it, or I'm in a restaurant supposed to meet somebody and they are running late in traffic, instead of looking at the menu and getting irritated, just close your eyes and think of Bhagwan and chant his mantra, chant his name. Now, Atma Vishuddhaye. Now, Atma, the Atma, the consciousness, that is one meaning of the word Atma, Om, that is ever Shuddha, Nitya Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupa, Chaitanya, Atma. So this Atma, this consciousness, which is the total Brahman, is ever Shuddha. So Bhagavan is not saying to purify that Atma, because that Atma is always pure, that is the Lord, Infinite Brahman Himself. When they are saying Atma here, again it does not mean the body, because some people think I am the body. To purify the body is easy, just take some soap, you know, and just wash yourself, the body becomes clean. What they are saying to clean is the mind and the intellect, my emotions and my thoughts, my ideas. So that is what has to be purified, and we'll talk about that. And then people think, through meditation, I will reach God, or I will realize God, or I will attain God, I will attain Brahman, I will realize Brahman. You cannot realize Brahman, you cannot know Brahman, you cannot attain Brahman, you cannot reach Brahman, you cannot. So then they say, then why am I meditating? I cannot reach, no, you cannot attain, no, you cannot realize, no. The thing is, Brahman, the consciousness, is always attained, is always with us. It is constantly with us. So there is nowhere to reach, nowhere to go, nothing to know. Right now, I am talking because Brahman is talking through me. You are listening because Brahman is listening through your ears and through the mind. The mind is then sending. So Brahman is always with us. All we have to do is rediscover that Brahman is with me. God is with me. God is not somebody sitting in the temple or the church, or he's not in Kashi or Mathura or Vaikuntha. Yes, he is in all those places. He is in the temple and church and mosque, but he is in me as life and consciousness. So to discover the oneness with Brahman is the goal of meditation. Then they say, Atma Vishuddhaye. The Atma should be purified. So Atma, again, we said, the mind and intellect. And what is the impurity? The vasanas. Vasanas are my tendencies, which make me do the wrong thing. When I have selfish tendencies, they push my mind and intellect. So how do we purify the vasanas? By doing service with the body, with the mind. I love God and I love all people. And with the intellect, I get the right knowledge. So that is one way to reduce the vasanas, you know, that to know. But the most powerful way to burn vasanas is meditation. Gurudev, in his commentary, he says that when the mind and the intellect in the silence, when the mind is made quiet by chanting the mantra and by observing the breath, we'll talk about that. When it is made quiet, and the quiet mind, when it comes in contact with the silence within the consciousness, the vasanas instantly get burned. Is the best way to burn vasanas is to connect the mind with God and God who is within. So in the silence of meditation, when the mind is exposed to that quietude, vasanas get burnt or roasted. So that is called purification of the mind. Quiet mind plus self. That is the best way. And a guru is beneficial, because the guru will tell us that what are you meditating on? What is the purpose of meditation? So one has to have the pramana buddhi, that if it is written in the Bhagavad Gita, if it is said by Swami Chinmayananda, if it is said by Bhagavan Sri Krishna himself, it is the truth. So being convinced of the truth and applying that. So that is called pramana buddhi, where I am totally convinced that if it is in the scriptures, if it is said by the guru, it is the truth. And the intellect, there are three kinds of impurities. They say, no, purify the intellect. Mala, vikshepa, and avarana. Mala is dirt, vikshepa is agitation, and avarana is veiling. So the mala, the dirt, has to be removed by going to the guru and getting the right knowledge and knowing that what is my goal, what is my purpose. Vikshepa is removed by, as we said, the agitations of the mind are reduced by reducing my activities and by bhakti. So by karma and bhakti, then my mind becomes less agitated, my mind is focused on the Lord. And then Avarana is by Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. We have talked about that before, but briefly, Shravana is to listen to the teacher, listen with full attention. So I completely tune my mind to the teacher and understand what he or she is saying. And the teacher will tell me that I am not this body, mind and intellect, but I am the Atma, the Brahman, the consciousness. So that is called Shravana, where I am totally convinced that I am not this body. That is the most difficult thing. I have a body, this body. That's what in Swami Ishwarananda said, this body. This body means, though you don't even have to say my body, but this body is at this moment functioning. I can say this body is talking, not I am talking or my mouth is talking, but this mouth is talking. So this separateness must come. And then once I am convinced that I am Brahman, I am the consciousness, then, you know, when after I go from the lecture, I go home, they say, yeah, the teacher said it. I don't think so. Because Brahman is infinite. I am so small, limited. Brahman is all-knowing. I don't even know anything. I hardly know, you know, even my own subject. Brahman is all-powerful. I can do nothing. How can I and that total Brahman be one? It can't be. So then you sit and contemplate upon it. How do you do that? How can I and Brahman be one? So what I found the simplest thing is that Brahman is everywhere, right? Everything. So then if Brahman is everywhere, why is he not in me? See, if you say Brahman is in the table, in her, in him, in the fan, then Brahman is, if the chair is Brahman, I am Brahman too. So that is, it's not a question of arrogance. It's not that I am God, but that everything is divine, including me. So that is the simplest way of understanding I am Brahman, because everything is Brahman. So respecting everything and also respecting my own body, my own mind. And so that is called manana. You contemplate upon it, and then when the mind gets disturbed and say I cannot be, then going back to that is nididhyasana. So in meditation you come to that understanding that I am the Atma, consciousness. And this body, mind, intellect is my equipment. So that is the focus of meditation. So that is how mala, vikshepa and avarana, the dirt, the agitation and the confusion, the veiling are removed. And the intellect has the right understanding. The mind is full with love. And that is called atma vishuddhaye, purification of the mind which is controlled, not running out.